From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschelt in a new Dr. Christian story, presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Your skin helps to protect you from all kinds of infection. It helps regulate your body temperature, and by means of its many pores, aids your body in getting rid of waste materials. Because the skin is so important, it is necessary to care for it, to give even minor everyday injuries the soothing, healing protection of Vaseline jelly. For burns, scalds, cuts, and scratches, for chapping, chafing, and irritations, all quickly respond to treatment with Vaseline jelly. This is because Vaseline jelly does three vitally important things for your skin. First, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. Second, it aids and assists in healing. And third, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. If you haven't a jar of Vaseline jelly in your medicine cabinet, get one tomorrow. It costs only a dime anywhere. And now, let's be on with the show. The star of our program, as you all know, is Gene Herschelt, beloved character actor. He's chosen a story tonight called Corn and Gingerbread. And his supporting cast includes Rosemary DeCamp, who plays Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, Robert Baldwin in the role of our young druggist, Roy Davis, who's a persistent suitor of Judy's. And by the way, you'll see Bob on the screen in the same role in the new Meet Dr. Christian picture, soon to be showing at your local theater. Robert Heller, as Clegden Grant, completes tonight's cast. As the curtain rises, we find Roy Davis in the reception room of the doctor's office, pacing the floor anxiously. In a moment, the outside door opens, and Dr. Christian comes into the room, returning from a professional call.
Well, good evening, Roy. I didn't expect to find you still here.
I certainly didn't expect to still be here either.
Well, hasn't Judy come back yet?
No, and I've been waiting for over an hour, Doc, ever since you left.
That's strange. Are you sure your date was for tonight?
Of course I'm sure. It's the first date she's given me in nearly 2 weeks. She said I should call for her at 6 and we'd go right from the office here to dinner.
Well, Judy's always been very punctual with me.
Oh, sure. She's your secretary. She doesn't have to be with me. I'm only her slave.
Oh, now, don't get so excited, Roy. Wait till I take my coat off and we'll see what we can do.
Women are all alike, Doc. No matter how late you are, they'll always keep you waiting.
Oh, then you were late, too.
Oh, Judy knows I always come 10 minutes late. That way I figure I'll only have to wait 20 minutes for her instead of half an hour.
Oh, I see.
But she's never kept me waiting this long before.
Now, did you call out at her house?
A million times. There's nobody home.
Well, I wouldn't worry. She's probably been detained someplace.
She's probably forgotten all about our date.
Oh, no, Roy. Judy wouldn't do that.
It wouldn't surprise me any if the way she's been acting lately.
What do you mean?
Doc, I'm afraid Judy's found someone else.
Oh, you youngsters in love. You're not happy unless you're making yourselves completely miserable.
She wouldn't let me kiss her goodnight the last time I took her home.
Well, that is serious.
She said she had a cold.
Well, did it ever occur to you, Roy, that she probably did?
Well, she's got no excuse for breaking this date.
She hasn't broken it yet. Well, look at her desk and see if she left you a note.
There's nothing here.
Well, look under those books, Roy.
No. Say, Doc, since when have you taken up architecture and city planning?
What do you mean?
The City Scientific by Henry Astrick. Air conditioning in the modern home. City planning for the future.
Well, they aren't mine. They must belong to Judy.
What would Judy be doing with books like these?
Well, that's just what I'm wondering.
She may be the best secretary in the world, but you'd never call Judy a mental heavyweight. Thank the Lord for that.
It must be some hobby she's taken up.
Wait, Doc. Some man gave her these books.
Some man?
Look here. Read what's written in the front of this one.
To Judy, scientifically and devotedly yours, Clegden Grant.
It's written big as life right in Roman motives applied to the house of tomorrow.
Well, Roy, I wouldn't call that a very romantic gift.
Just the same, some man is giving her presents.
Clayton Grant. Oh, of course. He must be the professor Judy was telling me about this morning.
What professor?
Well, he's a scientist or an author or something. I believe she said he's in Riversend making some kind of a survey for a book he's writing.
Well, where did Judy meet him?
To her club, I think she said.
So that's why she's been too busy to see me. She's been spending all of her time with this professor, this bookworm, this Roman Moly's applied to the House of Tomorrow.
Oh, I don't think you have any cause to be jealous, Roy.
Why not? He's a man, isn't he?
Yes, but from the looks of these books he's given her, he's probably much more interested in the history of the Parthenon than he ever would be in Judy.
Do you really think so?
This sounds more like the sort of work a man of my age would be interested in. Someone settled and quiet. After all, he's a stranger in town. Judy's probably doing what she can to help him gathering his material.
Just the same, I don't like the looks of it. Not at all.
Help, somebody.
Judy!
Oh, grab these books, please, Dr. Christian, will you, before I drop them?
Sure. There. I have them, Judy.
Whew, my, but they're heavy.
Oh, close the door, will you, Roy?
Gee, thanks, Dr. Grissom. I just put them on my desk here, will you, please?
There.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
Oh, Roy, darling, I'm so sorry I'm late.
I've been waiting for over an hour.
I know, but Mr. Grant called and he wanted to know if I'd get these books out of the library for him on my card. I couldn't refuse.
Mr. Grant?
Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you.
Mr. Clayton Grant, Judy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Don't worry, I've heard all about your new boyfriend.
Boyfriend? Oh, Roy, please don't be silly.
You've been spending all of your time with him.
I've been helping him, Roy. He's doing some wonderful work.
So I see.
Well, he is. He told me. He's writing some sort of a book about River's End.
What kind of a book, Judy?
Well, I don't know exactly. He's keeping it for a surprise.
You're going to forget about this old fogey of a professor and come and have dinner with me.
Roy Davis. Clegden Grant is not an old fogey. He has one of the finest, most stimulating minds I've ever known.
And I suppose the fact that my stomach needs a little stimulating right now means nothing to you.
Now, don't be vulgar, Roy, please.
Did you hear that, Dr. Christian? Since we've met the intellectual Mr. Grant, being hungry is vulgar.
Oh, come now, children. You've both been working hard all day. You'll feel much better when you've had some supper.
Really, darling, I am sorry I kept you waiting so long.
Hmm. Well, all right, I guess I don't mind so much now that you're here.
Oh, but really, when Mr. Grant gets talking, time passes so quickly. He's such a brilliant conversationalist.
If you mention his name once more...
Oh, excuse me. Is this Dr. Christian's office?
Yes.
Clegden. Oh.
Oh, Judy, there you are. I was hoping I'd find you here.
Oh, Clegden, this is Dr. Christian.
How do you do?
A great pleasure, Dr. Christian. I've heard so much about you.
No more than we've heard about you, I'll bet.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, Clegden, this is my friend, Roy Davis.
How do you do?
Yeah.
Roy owns the drugstore you were looking at yesterday, Clegden.
I see.
I hope you won't think we're rude, Mr. Grant. It's just that, well, we didn't expect to see such a handsome young man as you.
For some reason, everyone expects me to have long hair, uncombed and unwashed.
Oh, Clegden.
Dreadful thing, isn't it, the way people put scientists, professors, botanists, all in one class. It's like expecting all birds to look like the pelican.
Oh, no.
I think we'd better be going, Judy.
As a matter of fact, I've come to ask Miss Price a tremendous favor.
Oh, what's happened, Clegden?
They suddenly asked me to speak at the 20th Century Poets Club tonight instead of next week, and I haven't a thing prepared.
Oh, Clegden, well... Oh, but I have all our books right here.
Splendid. Then we can get to work at once.
But, Judy...
Oh, Roy, please forgive me this one time, will you? Mr. Grant does need my help.
After all, it is an emergency, old boy.
Yes, I see it is, in more ways than one, old boy.
May we use the office for a little while, Dr. Christian?
Yes, I suppose so, Judy.
What about supper?
Oh, come and have a bite with me, Roy. I'm hungry as a bear.
I think I'll do something on the monochromatic or dominant methods in color harmony for the home, Judy.
Oh, good. I have something here that may help on that.
Oh, thank you so much for the use of your office, Dr. Christian.
You're quite welcome, Mr. Grant.
I should really be back at my rooms in my laboratory.
Yes, in a bottle.
Why, Roy Davis!
Well, come along, Roy. My car's right outside. We better see what we can do about that supper. Looks like storm's blowing up. Well, let's get along, Roy.
Oh,
What chance have I got against a guy like that?
Oh, I don't think Judy's seriously interested in Grant.
She's serious, all right. I know, Doc. Did you see that look in her eyes when he came into the room?
The look in her eyes?
Yes. All starry and bright. She used to look at me like that when we first started going together.
Do you really think that means anything, Roy?
It means everything. I know Judy. She's fallen for him hook, line, and sinker.
Well, Judy will find out for herself in time. Right now, she's impressed by the fact that he's a scientist.
I'll bet he wouldn't seem so impressive away from his books and charts.
Well, he did have you at a disadvantage this afternoon.
You know, Doc, that's an idea worth trying.
What's that, Roy?
Well, get the three of us, Judy, this Grant fellow, and me, out somewhere where I feel at home for a change. I'll bet I wouldn't show up so badly then.
Say, that is an idea, Roy.
Out in the country, maybe. Way up the river. Away from his lecture platforms and books.
You'd be right at home there.
Sure. I know every part of the woods and waterfront around River's End.
Yes, the three of you could plan a picnic and spend a whole day out in the country.
But, Doc, do you think he'd go?
Oh, if Judy wanted him to, I'm sure he would, Roy. And, you know, Judy loves picnics. Why don't you do it right away, while the weather holds?
That's great. Boy, that's just what I'll do.
Well, it looks like the storm's blowing over.
Come on, Doc. Let's head for Eats. For some reason, my appetite's come back.
Dr. Christian's story, starring Gene Hersholt in the title role, will continue in just a few seconds. But first, I have a young man here who has something to say which is well worth your undivided attention.
I do a great deal of diving and swimming the whole year round, and the constant soaking of my hair gave me a bad case of dry scalp. My hair was terribly brittle, dry, and unruly, and I was bothered with dandruff scales. Finally, I asked another swimmer how he kept his hair so healthy-looking, and he told me about Vaseline Hair Tonic. He said it replaces the natural oils of the scalp, which water washes away. So I started rubbing my scalp with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic before each shampoo, then shaking on a few drops as I comb my hair each day. Now my hair is free from any trace of dandruff scales. It's healthy looking and easy to comb. I feel I owe a lot to Vaseline Hair Tonic, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to pass on the good word.
You don't have to be a year-round swimmer to have dry scalp. Sunshine, heated rooms, shower baths, and other normally beneficial things play havoc with the natural scalp oils. Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements those natural scalp oils, keeps your hair lustrous and easy to manage, free from dry scalp and its resulting dandruff scales. Vaseline Hair Tonic contains absolutely no ingredients that tend to dry the scalp. Get a bottle at your neighborhood druggist tomorrow. It costs only 40 and 70 cents for generous shaker top bottles. As we return you now to Gene Hersholt's Dr. Christian drama, we join Roy, Judy, and Clegden Grant on their picnic. Things apparently haven't been going as well as Roy and Dr. Christian had hoped. In swimming, during lunch, and now on their hike along the river shore, Mr. Grant is still monopolizing the conversation. And Judy...
Isn't it heavenly walking along here by the shore at this time of the evening?
It's a swell sunset, Judy.
Oh, how beautiful. Look, Clegg, did you ever see such color?
Those colors in the sunset there represent the polychromatic system I was telling you about, Judy.
Oh, those reds and pinks?
Yes, the diverse system may either be analogous or contrasting.
Judy!
Oh, why, Roy, what is it?
I say, old man, you're not getting tired, are you?
No, I'm not getting tired, and for the last time, I'm not an old man.
Why, Roy, that's no way to talk to Clegg.
I came out here for a picnic, not a lecture.
You're just trying to be disagreeable purposely.
I am not.
Well, I like to have things explained to me, even if you don't. Oh, Clegden, look.
What? What is it, Judy?
Look, there's a canoe drawn up on the shore. Doesn't it look inviting?
Would you like to go for a paddle?
I'd love it.
Do you suppose it's all right, Judy?
Of course. I learned how to manage a canoe before I learned how to walk.
No, I mean, don't you suppose it belongs to someone or something?
There's a cottage up there.
It probably belongs to the people who own it.
Oh, Roy, will you run up and ask them if we might use the canoe for a while?
Sure, Judy. I'll take you for a real ride. Wait here for me. I'll be right back.
All right.
Take your time, old man. We're in no rush.
Oh, hasn't it been a grand day, Clayton?
It's been divine for me. You know, Judy, we won't have any more days like this. Together.
You mean your book is finished?
It's been completed for days.
Why, Clegden?
I haven't told anyone because it means I must leave.
Oh, then you've enjoyed being here in River's End?
I've enjoyed being with you, Judy.
When may I read the manuscript? You know, you haven't told me a thing about it, really.
Tomorrow, if you'd like.
I'd love it.
Judy, are you fond of me at all?
Why, of course, Clegden. I've become very fond of you.
Do you mean that?
Oh, yes, of course. Come to admire you so much for all the things you want to do, your plans to make everything so much more beautiful, your ideals.
Oh, it's my work, then, and not me that you really like.
Oh, no, Clegden, it's you, too.
There's something I'd like to ask you, Judy, before I leave town.
Yes?
I don't know whether or not I have the right.
Oh, why, Clegden, what do you mean?
It's about Roy.
Roy?
Yes, Roy and you. Are you engaged?
No, not yet. I mean, well, we've been going together for quite some time. And...
Then I can ask you, Judy. Could you? Would you?
No, Clegden, don't. Not now.
Tomorrow, then, before I leave?
Well, all right. Tomorrow.
And you'll give me your answer then?
Yes. Yes, Clegden, I will.
Everything's all fixed. The man said we could use it.
What? Oh.
Say, what's been going on here anyway?
Nothing, old man.
Well, it certainly looks like I interrupted some mighty important conversation.
Oh, come on. Let's go for our canoe ride.
I'll get in first, Judy, and help you in.
Listen, I'm doing this. You have to know how to handle these boats.
All right, old man. Go ahead. Hop aboard.
Be careful, Roy.
Wait a minute, old man. You'd better step back a bit or Judy's weight will throw you both over.
How do you get that way? I've been raised in canoes.
But it stands to reason that an overbalance of weight tipping to the right will undeniably...
Come on, Judy.
Okay. Here I come.
Judy, wait! Look out! The canoe's turning over.
Judy, are you all right?
Am I all right? I'm standing in ice-cold water up to my neck.
Here, Judy, grab hold of my hand.
All right, Davis, I wouldn't be surprised if you did this on purpose.
No, I didn't, Judy. Honestly, I didn't.
Hold on tight. That's right. Up you go.
Oh, look at my dress. It's soaking wet.
I'm just as wet as you are.
Here, throw my coat around your shoulders.
All right. Thank you, Clegden.
I'll get you back to the car and drive you right into town before you catch cold.
Hey, wait. We've got to drain this canoe and turn her over.
Suppose you do that while I take Judy into town.
Hey, wait a minute. What about me?
You have nothing to worry about, old man.
Nothing to worry about?
Just go ahead and get the canoe up on shore and I'll come back for you after I've taken Judy in. It's you, Dr. Christian.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Grant. Did you want to see me?
No, I was waiting here in your office to see Judy.
Oh, she should be back from lunch soon. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Judy's all right, then? No ill effects from the picnic?
No, I'm afraid Roy is the only one who suffered. He's home in bed with a bad cold.
That's a shame. He seems to be a fairly decent chap. That is, as chaps go here in your little town.
Oh.
Although I haven't met many of them. Thank goodness.
Then you don't care much for our people, huh?
I'm afraid not. But I will say they're no worse than I expected.
Oh, I see.
Do you know, Dr. Christian, you're the only person, aside from Judy, of any real mental stature here in River's End.
Oh, really?
Yes. I can actually enjoy talking to you. That's more than I can say for anyone else in this town.
And Judy?
Oh, I'm in love with Judy, sir. You see, that really doesn't count.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I think you... might be losing your little secretary soon, Dr. Christian.
Is that so?
Yes. I'd like to take her away with me. It's about time I married and settled down. Helps a man so in his career. Don't you think so?
I really wouldn't know, Mr. Grant.
I imagine Julie will be glad to get away from here. After all, I don't suppose you can expect to find any really intelligent or interesting people living in a small town like River's End.
Why, Mr. Grant, I was under the impression that you liked our little town.
What on earth ever gave you that idea?
Well, you came here to live for a while, to write a book about it. Well, is that funny as all that, Mr. Grant?
Yes, you see, Dr. Christian, it's because I don't like your town that I'm here and have written a book about it.
Because you don't like it?
Yes. I'm using River's End for my horrible example.
Oh, I see.
I brought a copy of the manuscript of my book over with me for Judy to see.
Then it's finished?
Yes.
What do you call your book, Mr. Grant?
Corn and Gingerbread.
Oh, it's a very interesting title. What does it mean?
It's a description of River's End in the vernacular. You see, River's End has been an ideal town for my housing study. It's a perfect example of everything that is wrong with the American design for living.
You mean you think we are a bit, corn-fed?
Of course. You must realize that.
And does Judy know all this? I mean, the way you feel about it?
Oh, no, I've kept it as a surprise.
Oh, and today you're going to let her in on the secret, huh?
How can a man of your scientific attainments manage to exist in a town like this, Dr. Christian?
Maybe it's because I don't seem to think River's End is so bad, Mr. Clark.
But, Dr. Christian, the place is outmoded.
You must remember, most of us have lived here all our lives. It's as familiar to us and as comfortable as an old slipper.
Really, Dr. Christian, it's my turn to be surprised. I never thought I'd hear an advanced thinker like you upholding sentiment at the expense of progress.
I suppose there's no place for sentiment in your modern streamlining.
Everything is functional, Dr. Christian, because the world is moving faster.
Whirling backward all the time.
Well, no matter what you say or believe, this book of mine will settle a lot of problems here in River's End.
I see your problem coming.
Hi, everybody.
Hello yourself.
Hello, Judy.
Clegden. Oh, Dr. Christian, how's Roy this afternoon?
Oh, he'll be all right. Told him to stay in bed for a day or two.
Oh, we should never have left him to manage that canoe all alone.
We couldn't let you catch cold, Judy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Judy, Mr. Grant has brought the finished manuscript of his book over for you to see.
Oh, how marvelous, Clegden. Where is it?
Right here.
Oh, I can't wait to read it.
Here you are.
Interesting title, don't you think, Judy?
Corn and Gingerbread.
Do you like it, Judy?
Not sure I understand it.
Mr. Grant thinks River's End should be torn down and built all over again.
Oh.
That it's old-fashioned and outmoded.
I could put a beautiful steel, air-conditioned model city on this spot instead of the dirty, outmoded buildings you have lining your streets.
Oh, but I didn't know you intended to tear everything down, Clegden.
Oh, figuratively, of course.
Well, that's some consolation, Mr. Grant.
Here are my plans for laying out a new, ultra-modern shopping district. All the merchandise displayed on the eye level as you sit in your car. You won't have to get out at all to complete your buying.
Yes, I see.
All of those old State Street buildings would have to go. Architectural atrocities, I call them. See, that's the title of my first chapter, Architectural Atrocities. You'll find all the main structures in River's End under that heading.
Haven't there any buildings that you do like, Mr. Grant?
Well, your new hospital is all right on the inside.
But, Clegden, what's this map here?
Oh, those are the homes of tomorrow on Elm Street.
You tear all the old ones down?
All of them.
Oh.
Even that big brown gable house set back from the corner?
That, Judy, is gingerbread from cellar to roof.
But that's the house where I was born.
Well, it's a miracle you grew up to be such a charming young lady after getting your start in life in that dreary old barn.
It isn't a dreary old barn, Clegden Grant, and I love it.
The old homestead act. You'll get over it.
Oh.
Oh, Judy, darling, try to understand. Look here. Just look here. At this downtown section again.
Well...
Can't you see what a sensation my new super shopping plan will create?
What's this here on the corner?
That's my new drive-in drugstore in place of the bucolic rendezvous that's there now.
That's Roy Davis's drugstore.
Yes, I know.
Well, you're not going to change that. Even in your book.
Judy,
you've torn the map right out of my book.
Yeah, I know I have. You aren't going to make Roy look foolish.
Oh. Judy, were you talking about me?
Why, Roy...
I thought I told you to stay in bed.
I couldn't, Doc. I knew I'd find these two together.
I think Mr. Grant just stopped in to say goodbye.
Yes, he's leaving town and taking his dreadful book with him.
I should have known better than to expect any sort of intelligence or understanding here.
Do you know what he was going to do, Roy? He was going to tear down your drugstore.
Figuratively, Roy.
Thank you, Dr. Christian.
And put up another one instead. Here's the plan. I tore it out of the book.
You did that for me?
Well, I wasn't going to have him print anything unkind about the drugstore. Not after all the fun we've had there.
Well, Judy, is this goodbye?
I'm afraid it is, Clegden.
Well, I suppose it's just as well that we found out we weren't suited to each other now as later.
Yes.
Goodbye, Mr. Grant. Please don't think we're rude. You see, when someone attacks our little fort, we have to do everything we can to defend it.
Yes, I understand. I suppose being born and reared here and growing up with the town blinds you to the ugliness around you.
We don't hate our parents because they grow old and wrinkled and gray, do we, Mr. Grant? We love them all the more. Well, Riversend is just like our parents. It's watched over us since we were babies. The older our building grows, the more we love them. For the memories they keep for us.
Well, everyone to his taste. So long. You'll see yourselves in print any day now.
While you're about it, better add a chapter to the book on romance, old man.
Yes, the good old-fashioned drugstore kind.
Gene Hersholt, our star, wants to say a few words to you about next week's play, and he'll be here in just a moment. Meanwhile, may I say a final word about the products that make these programs possible. There is probably no other household product in the world as widely used as Vaseline jelly. Nationwide surveys reveal that it is used in more than 9 out of every 10 American homes. This is because Vaseline jelly is absolutely safe to use. Made by a special scientific process, it is refined until it is so pure you can eat it. And that is also why Vaseline jelly is prescribed as first aid for sore throats, too. So for your protection when you buy, look for the name Vaseline. You will find it on every genuine Vaseline product, whether you buy the plain Vaseline jelly or any of the Vaseline specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. And now, here is Gene Hersholt as Dr. Christian of River's End. And Dr. Christian, your fans want to hear all about next week's play.
Well, next week our play is called Prelude to Thanksgiving. It concerns the Gardner family, who are among the nicest people in our town. Tanny Gardner is 15, tomboy daughter of a beautiful and popular mother. Fanny is mighty scornful of the love affairs of her schoolmates, and what happens to her and to them, well, makes our next play. I know you're going to enjoy this comedy of adolescent youth very, very much. Until next Wednesday, then, at the same hour, I'll say good night.
This week, the first RKO Radio Dr. Christian picture, based on this series of radio programs and starring Gene Hersholt in the title role, will be released to motion picture theaters throughout the country. It is called Meet Dr. Christian, and in it, you're going to meet a lot of the other folks in River's End, too, including Roy Davis, our local druggist, and Judy Price. Don't miss this fine human picture. It's packed with laughs, and it will pull on your heartstrings, too. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you all good night for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.